Dean Jones. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show, and we're here helping you understand the purpose of life, why you've been created, why you're here, where you're going when you die. These very important questions that many people are forgetting to ask. They're not reflecting about, they're not thinking about. My next guest, like majority of my guests, they came on, the light bulb went on, and they figured out, you know what, money is not buying me happiness. Fame is not buying me happiness. It's not helping me attain what really my soul needs. And that's something beyond the material things. My next guest was a club hopper and beyond. He was a club owner, and from Friday to Friday, he was living, making money, spending money, and he was not happy at all. And then he went from there, he tried to fill that void, not only with Xanax and all the other things that people start to take when the depression kicks in, but he was dealing with the magicians, people who now you go to and you're just like, hey, I'm sick. You know what? Of course you're sick. You feel depressed inside. Of course you feel depressed inside because you're missing the most important thing, the connection with the Creator. And he was missing that. So then he went to magicians and he went to soothsayers and, you know, trying to get a prescription to feel better. But doctors couldn't give it to him, nor could the magicians. But it had to come from the one who created this whole universe and everything in it. So he's here to share his story with us. His father was also a Hindu priest. So man, this guy's story is incredible. It's amazing. You don't want to go nowhere. Don't miss this. We'll be right back with his story here on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean
Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean
Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. We're back here on The Dean Show with our special guest. Here, our brother, your brother, all the way from New York. How are you, brother? Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. May peace and blessings of Allah be upon you.
Thank you for being with us. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
Now, this is very exciting because you're actually, I believe, the first Hindu guest that we have, former Hindu guest that we have on The Dean Show. So the viewers are excited to know your story on how you went from being a Hindu and how you came to the way of life of all the messengers of God. Islam, complete submission and surrender to the one who created creation, but not to the creation, worshiping only God. That's Islam. How did you come to Islam? Talk to us.
Yeah, I used to be a Hindu. I come from a strong Hindu family. My father was actually a Hindu priest, and we came from a following Hindu, a Hindu background. And, you know, my journey to Islam is a little long and interesting story. But in short, you know, when I came to Islam is through a business that I had. And that business that I had was actually a nightclub. And through that nightclub, you know, it came to a point where I was going through a lot of problems in this nightclub. And, you know, in a Hindu family, the first thing that they do as, you know, when someone's having an issue is that they bring you to their Hindu priest, which is a pundit. And this Hindu priest, you know, the first thing he would tell me to do is, you know, stuff involving black magic. So I got involved with this black magic for a year to try to better my life because this is something that he told me was a part of the religion. And in doing so, things still kept going in a downward spiral. And I kind of got a little fed up and I kind of got frustrated and said, you know, how can there be a God if I'm praying every day to God and making sujood to God in the idol form and all these different idols and all these bad things are happening to me? So one day I had a friend who was actually looking into Islam, and he mentioned to me, he said, why don't you check out Islam? And I said, you know, why am I going to check out this terrorist religion? And, you know, we're all ignorant at the time. So I went to get a Quran, and, you know, as a new Muslim, you know, a new person looking into the Quran, you're not too sure what to expect. And looking into English Quran is a little confusing. But the first ayah that I came across looking at the Quran was ayah from Surah 17, ayah number 8, that said, it may be that your Lord may have mercy unto you, but if you revert to your sins, we shall revert to our punishments. And it really hit me because that ayah spoke to me directly. It was directly talking to me, and I got really interested. And I started looking more into the religion, but the Quran explained everything that I was going through in my life. It explained in detail everything about black magic, explained in detail all the problems, it explained in detail about the people who worship the idols. So when I saw these things, I still wanted to dig deeper into Hinduism, but I noticed that Hinduism said you should worship one God, and it says that that God has no shape or no form. And when I saw these things, you know, I said, you know, I'm going to look more into Islam. And when I did, I decided to take my Shahada, alhamdulillah.
Tell us now, what are some of the Hindu beliefs? What do Hindus believe?
Hindus, they really follow tradition. They don't really follow any specific book, because if they did, their actual texts, the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Puranas, all these different texts says to worship one God, that he is one supreme being without a shape, without a image or without appearance or offspring. But the Hindus, they actually worship many gods. They believe that God manifested in different forms. So they worship an individual God based on what they need, such as if they need wealth, they'll worship one God for that. If they need power or they're going through hard times, they worship another God for that. For death, they worship another God for that. But in the Hindu scriptures, it says that there should only be one God should be worshipped. And the Hindus, instead of following the scripture, they actually follow their tradition. So they, in following the tradition, they in turn worship multiple gods and multiple statues and multiple images of something representing what their idea of a god would be.
Now that you've found Islam, tell us, does it make sense? Is it clear? Is everything in Islam lucid?
With Islam now, everything makes sense. With Hinduism, I was always confused. I always wondered, why couldn't I just talk to God and say, God, you know, just help me out. Just give me something down here. But with Islam, everything makes sense now. I mean, I have in detail an explanation of whatever question that I may have. I have in detail what's going to happen to me after I die. I have in detail what the purpose of life is. I have in detail of why the trees grow, why everything happens. You know, the difference is night and day.
Now that you've left the nightclub scene, you've left that life of debauchery, following your lusts and desires, are you truly happy?
Yes, at the nightclub, it's something that a lot of people want. They want the wealth, they want the attention. And people in the nightclub, it's a fantasy that they're living. They're basically trying to live out a movie scene. They're basically trying to just indulge in every fantasy that they have. And I personally think, you know, the lifestyle that I had then and the lifestyle that I have now, yes, I may not have the wealth that I have then, but this deen that I have, this religion, this faith, this knowledge that I have now, nothing in the world can buy that back. No money in the world can amount to that. I had money then. When I had the nightclub, I had fame. I had wealth. I had everything I ever wanted in the nightclub, but I wasn't happy. There was a void. There was a void that it was longing to be filled. And with Islam came and filled that void. And there's no money in the world that can buy that back from me.
Now tell us, before you came to the realization that Islam was the truth, and we know it's based on proof and evidences, for anyone who takes a sincere, humble approach, an analytical approach, they'll come to the same realization that you have, that Islam is indeed not a man-made religion, but it is from the creator of the heavens and earth. But before you became a Muslim, before you started practicing Islam, did you look into some of the other man-made religions?
Yes, I did look into other religions. I wanted to disprove Islam before I even accepted Islam. So I said, if Hinduism wasn't the truth, then maybe Christianity is the truth. And when I actually looked into the Bible and researched the Bible, it was kind of confusing to me. If you ever looked in the Bible, it's a very confusing thing. But I was trying to adopt the belief that Jesus was God or the Son of God or the Holy Spirit. But in the Bible, it clearly says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. So if the Bible says these things, the Old Testament says these things, why should I believe that God has a son, or God is a man, or God is all these things that some Christians believe? So I did look into to the multiple religions. I looked into Judaism until I found that you can't become a Jew. You have to be born into this. And it's the same concept with Hinduism. Hindus believe that they're so special, just like the Jews, that you have to be born a Hindu. And the Quran explained every religion in detail. It explained Christianity. It spoke about Jesus. It spoke about Judaism. It spoke about the Hindus, which were known as the pagans. And it spoke about all these religions. So the Quran, in a sense, it gave me the answers for all religions in one thing.
Let me ask you this. Was it challenging being a new Muslim?
Oh, yeah. It was a great challenge becoming a new Muslim. As most people, when they learn something new, they want to share it with the world. And as I said, my father and my family was a following Hindu. My father actually was a Hindu priest. So when I was learning about Islam and I learned out about the truth of Hinduism, the first thing I did was go to my parents and say, you know, Mom, Dad, did you know that this says this? Did you know that you're doing something wrong? Why are we worshiping these idols? Why are we doing these different things? And it was a big shock to them. You know, we grew up following the religion of our forefathers. So my parents, they took it very bad. It was not an easy road for me. You know, for the first year of becoming Muslim, my parents didn't really fully know that I was a Muslim. My mother would ask me, you know, why are you growing this beard? My dad would say, go shave your beard. You look like a terrorist. What are you doing? And it was so difficult because I had to hide to pray my salah. I had to hide to do different things. I had to hide to go to the masjid. I had to hide doing everything that I was supposed to do. And there's nothing that I could have said to my mother or said to my father that would convince them otherwise. I tried everything. And every time I would ever mention Islam to them, it would only make them angrier and angrier and angrier. So it was definitely a difficult journey for me.
Amazing, amazing. Tell us, what do you know about Islam before you became a Muslim, before you submitted to God, before you started to follow Islam? What do you know about Islam?
Well, before I was a Muslim, we basically believe on what the media tells us to be, what Islam is. Whatever the media says or portrays the Muslims to be is what we were believed, is what I believed. When my friend told me he was looking into Islam, the first thing I said to him was, why are you telling me about this terrorist religion? I remember times when I was in high school, I would pass by certain masjids and I would say, you know, look at these guys plotting to do something. You know, but once you start looking into Islam, you notice that it says you shouldn't take the life of another. There's no such thing as suicide. You can't do all these wrong things. You know, whoever takes a life, innocent life is as if he've killed all of humanity. And this is what the Quran says. That one ayah in the Quran alone shows that Islam is not what the media portrays him to be.
Okay, for all the millions of people who are viewing the Deen Show, and many of them, they need the advice. They're still stuck in that trap, living for the moment. So for those people living in the moment, chasing their lusts and desires, what advice do you have for them?
For people that are living in the moment, I was one of those people. My motto in life was to live my life because time was short. We never thought about death. We never thought about what's going to happen then. We just lived our every fantasy. And to the people that right now, that they might want to be living their fantasy, they just want to do everything that pleases them at the current moment, they have to remember that they're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. If you go to any random person and ask them, when are you going to die? They'll say, I don't know. But we all know that death is promised to us. We're all going to die. But is this life in vain? They should think about, you know, is this life, my advice to the person that is living their every fantasy and just is doing everything to please themselves and not care about anything else, is what's the point? You have to ask yourself, what's the point of this life? What is the purpose of this life? Are we just here for nothing? Are we just here to accumulate wealth? Are we just here to just live every fantasy and then die? You know, is that the purpose? Because then realistically, it's just no point to this. You know, what's the point of just someone being a murderer and just killing and just that's his fantasy? Is that correct? In his definition, killing is what it gives him his pleasure. You know, is that justice? So think about your last moments, that you don't know when that moment will be. And if you justify that you're just having fun, you're just going to club, you're just having one drink, that's what the murderer is saying. That's what the one who molests the children is saying. They're saying, I'm just doing this because this makes me happy. This is what life is about. So then you have no right to say, okay, that guy is a bad guy for killing someone, because he's doing exactly what you're doing in a different fashion. He's living out his fantasy and he's living his pleasure. Your pleasure is drinking. Your pleasure is partying. His pleasure is killing. Is he wrong by your theory? Think about those things and then ask yourself, can just having fun and living out your pleasure really be the purpose of life, or is there something more?
And thank you so much for being with us here on The Deen Show.
Thank you for having me.
And there you have it, another amazing story here on The Deen Show. His father was a Hindu priest. He was a nightclub owner. And that is what surrounded his life. Music, entertainment, and many of us are just getting entertained. And we're not thinking about death and what comes after death. So we're getting caught up with the live by the moment. Experience all you can. Just go ahead and enjoy life. Don't take it too seriously. You're a good person. You're not hurting nobody. Oh yeah, really? But if you go to your boss and you expect to get paid, but you're not fulfilling the duties, the rights that your boss has upon you, the work obligations that he has upon you, you're the employee, or now you're the employer and your employees are not doing the job. Are you going to pay them, or can you expect to get paid? How in the end, how in the world do you expect to get paradise? How in the world do you expect to be successful when you die on the day of judgment if you're not living life according to how God Almighty, the Creator, who created you, how He told you to live? You're not even asking for the guidance. Asking God, there's so many people that we ask, say, have you asked God to guide you? Everybody has some philosophy, has some ideology, even if they're not following a religion, they make up a religion in their head, they make up some crazy way in their head, and they think they're going to go ahead and pass this along to God and say, hey God, you know what, go ahead and accept this with all my funky ingredients in it. No, you can't just live a life of debauchery and live a life of hedonism and just, you know, lying, deceiving, cheating, and doing all sorts of scandalous things and expect to die and just say, God, give it to me. Paradise, which is eternal forever, ever. No, you got to live a righteous, pious, good life. But let's say you've done all those bad things, but you turn to God with a sincere heart. He's the most loving, the most merciful. He forgives all sins. But you got to do it now before death reaches you, because paradise is what we're aiming for. We're shooting from high above the stars. We're shooting for paradise. That's right. That's our original home. Paradise. That's where our great-grandfather, Adam, the first man, that's where he was from. That's where we want to go back to. We want to get to paradise and we want to avoid the hellfire. Let me tell you a story before we head out. You know, when this is not a hadith for nothing, but we know when death talked to life and said, hey, you know, it talked to each other and it said, hey, why do people love you and hate me? Why do people love you and hate me? So life looks over at death and says, hey, because you're the bitter truth and I'm a sweet lie. So don't get caught up with the lies that are around you, all the entertainment, all the reality shows, and all the things that are just wasting of your time, a waste of your time. First and foremost, get around good company, start asking God to guide you, and then start doing the good that God wants you to do. It's all there. We have the verbatim word of God, the Quran. And for those who have loved what we want to say and they want to learn more, go ahead and pick up the Quran for free. Operators are standing by, 1-800-662-ISLAM. If everything made sense today in this show, and you believe that there's only one God, I should only worship Him. You believe in accountability, that, hey, you know, the Hitlers of the world and all the people who've been terrorizing people and just getting away with it in this life, that God Almighty will bring them to account on the day of judgment. It's not that we just die and we just disappear. There's accountability. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? Belief in one God, the day of judgment, doing good, living a righteous life. This is what Islam is based on. These are just a few of the beautiful teachings of Islam. Now go ahead and learn more. Give us a call. And don't forget to tune in every week to the Deen Show and leave off all those bad things. Live a good life, doing good, being good. And that's how you can truly avoid all the Xanax. That's how you can truly have that peace and contentment and satisfaction. And we look forward to having you back again with us here on the Deen Show. Don't forget to pick up the new Dunya to Deen at this website here, eddiedvd.com. We'll see you next time. God willing, peace be with you.